live from our national studios here in Accra, networking with all our regional FM stations and across the globe on gbcghana.com. We say welcome to Behind the News, where we speak to the experts and the newsmakers. My name is Kingsley Obinchere. For tonight, Ghana Statistical Service releases final census results. How can the figures be used for effective development planning? Planning for June 4 celebrations, Safari Jolt as chief call for relocation of the event from Aklao. What happens next? And it was an event that was celebrated, but the advocates are asking, where is the mental health law after passage? We'll be looking at these issues. Behind the News, you are getting us live if you are in the Volta region on Volta Star Radio. And we'll be picking your text and comments on 0266677570. 0266677570. You are also live on Radio Savannah and also on Radio Upper West. Some may describe it as a stab in the back, or a son who has been disowned by his own people, or could it be described as a child who has refused to listen to advice from his elders and so has been left to his fate? This could be said to be the present situation involving former President Rawlings in the celebration of this year's June 4 anniversary. Reports available to Behind the News indicate that some chiefs and elders of Aklao in the Volta region have expressed their disapproval of the choice of the town as the venue for the celebration of the 33rd anniversary of the June 4 uprising. In a statement by the chairman of the Aklao Council of Elders, Professor Ines Dumo, and the senior divisional chief of Aklao Traditional Area, Togbi Nulemeji Anubo, the elders said they are uncomfortable with the choice of the town as the venue for the anniversary. We want to talk to the secretary of the Council of Elders of the Aklao Chiefs, Komlan Deku, who has joined us on the line. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, sir.
What is the main thrust of your rejection or disapproval for the event being held in Aklao?
So the main thrust is the timing of the event. Of late, Aklao has been in the news, as you are aware. And as a result of the government's own promise to create a municipality, which never came on, and when we saw that the 40 cities that were created never included that of Aklao, and then we had to really petition the government to, you know, ensure that the government honored its own promise. So this agitation has been going on. You remember it led to a demonstration of the youth at Aklao, and it also led to the president himself calling on WFC, and then reaffirming his promise, and that's so. And we actually consolidated this in with a resolution asking the government to honor its own promise, else our voting will actually be, you know, determined otherwise. Now, with all these things going on, and people now saying we've antagonized the government and the rest, and looking at what is happening within the NDC itself in terms of the Rawlings fashion, and then the way ASNAs are being thrown at the regime, we feel threatened. You know, we feel very uncomfortable that when this event is actually celebrated there, it is not impossible for somebody to read into it and say, oh, yes, maybe it's as a result of the support that we're having from the Jerry Rawlings. That is why this thing is going on. But as a natural fact, how is that developmental? We want our people to get jobs too.
Yeah, but previously, did you agree to the event being held there?
We never agreed. As Kofi Adam was saying, there was no agreement to that effect. There hasn't been any agreement. I've started a letter that they have actually, you know, written to Togbi Fiti, written on 21st of May. And signed by one Amenyo, Captain, another Captain Amenyo, inviting, you know, Togbi and then other division chiefs to the celebration.
Uh-huh.
You know, it was, you know, on the basis of this, prior to this thing, we were really hearing it as a rumor that it was going to be held there. And we were feeling very uncomfortable. Why Aklao at this time? And now we saw the letter. So we decided to really right to disassociate ourselves from, you know, from the event.
Did you even try to approach them and tell them that because of maybe prevailing circumstances, you advise that they relocate even before coming out with this release?
We got the letter just 3 days back. Only 3 days back. And if you, I don't know whether you have the press release.
Yes.
Dated yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah, it was yesterday that we quickly, you know, put these things together and sent to them. So they have a copy themselves.
Mm-hmm. What has been the response?
No, well, the response has been they are going to hold it anyway. And even calling us names, calling us that we are being financed by the government. I mean, some of this flattering this and what not lies. You know, we are not into politics.
Yeah, that is the issue we want to explore. Some people are thinking that you are being used by people in government to pursue an agenda against former President Rawlings.
Who are those people that are using it? We, the people of, you know, Council of Elders. In fact, hardly would you get somebody, you know, who is below 50. 65 and whatnot and the rest. Now, why would government that we are looking this thing from will now come and then, you know, ask us to go and do it? Are we not thinking individuals? We are. We don't know anybody in government, I can assure you. We have never met anyone in government. Nobody. Mm-hmm. If there's anybody in government who says that they have really met them, the person should come out. We have never, you know, met anybody.
So you are saying that it's the issue about your development. That is what you are concerned about, and so you don't want attention shifted from that one.
Exactly.
Are you getting a response by taking the stance that you will allow June 4th celebrations in Aklau?
Please come again. The line was breaking.
Yes, I'm asking whether you are getting any response from the appropriate quarters if you stop the celebration of June 4 in Aklau.
No, we haven't got any you know, response to the effect of this page or whatnot. But at least we have made our case. We have disassociated ourselves from the celebration, and we will not attend.
You won't attend, but assuming they still want to go ahead with the celebration in the place and get the requisite permit to do so. I know at the end of your letter you want to alert the security agencies about your decision.
Yeah, that's right.
But assuming they say...
Go ahead.
Uh-huh. Yes, I'm listening. Hello? Sir.
Hello?
Hello, sir. Yes, please go ahead.
Uh-huh.
Yes, assuming they want to go ahead with the place and want to negotiate, that it won't even be anything that will harm whatever agenda you are pursuing for your development.
But, okay, if I get you, you're asking whether if they go ahead.
Yes, they want to go ahead. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
What will you do?
Definitely what we would do. We wouldn't do anything. It's a democratic country. They have the right to get in. We have expressed our, you know, disposition and then our uncomfortableness of, you know, the issue being held there. We are not saying that June 4th celebration should not be celebrated. It should be celebrated. It could be celebrated at Aklau, but not this particular time. That is what we are saying. The time is wrong for us. If we have somewhere else, if they go ahead, they should go ahead. They will be held liable for the consequences of their own action. That is it.
Mr. Komladik, we want to thank you very much for your time this evening. We are still trying to reach a member of the planning committee to get their response on the letter. But thank you very much for your time.
Please come again.
Yes, we are thanking you very much for your time. And if need be, we'll get back to you.
Oh, okay. Thank you, my brother. Thank you.
That's the Secretary of the Council of Elders of the Aklau Chiefs, Komla Deku, telling us about their resolve to not to allow the celebration of June 4th in Aklau. We have joining us the President of the Volta Youth Network and Head of the Local Planning Committee of the June 4th, Matthias Johnson. Matthias, you are welcome.
Thank you very much, my good brother.
What is your response to the decision by the elders and chiefs?
Well, good evening to you, my brother, and good evening to your cherished listeners. The decision by this Council of Elders, as they are so called, for us, come out of the blue. But however, we can set with emphatically that it does not hold water. I have to begin by saying that the celebrating June 4th in Aklau this particular year has been the handiwork of the youth of the region who themselves lobbied for the celebration of June 4th. And having been given the nod and with so much respect to traditional authority, we approach the paramount chief of the Aklau Traditional Council, who is Togbi Fiti, to sell the idea to him that we would like to celebrate June 4th in Aflao. The head of all the traditional council, that's the paramount chief, gave us his blessings, and in fact was very happy, and said he will even mobilize his own sub-chief to partake in the celebration. Then they just ended a Ketosat parliamentary elections. We begin to pick certain signals that now begin to bear fruit of deceit. The first I can say on authority is a meeting that happened on the sidelines of the Congress between the Deputy Minister of Communication, Okudzeto Ablakwa, the Propaganda Secretary, Kosiga, and Fifi Kwete, at the White Dove Hotel in Jojo, where they were discussing with some youth how they can contain the celebration of the June 4th, because they believe Jerry Rawlings was coming to outdoor a new political party, which will spell doom for the party.
Hello, Matas.
Hello?
You are saying you picked signals. Were you told outrightly that that was the agenda of the meeting, and specifically these were the issues that they discussed?
Yes. And we even have an authority, a friend who the deputy minister spoke to, that they intend to go into the election without Rawlings, and when they win without him, they will finish him and change the NDC forever. And now, for me to proceed quickly and not waste your time and your cherished listeners, I will go straightforward and then give you the details. The statement by the Aflao Youth Association was issued by only one man who collected money from some NDC executives.
Are you sure of the accusation? Because you are making an accusation. If you mention any name, it means we should have the side. And once we don't have that other side, it means it cannot immediately be substantiated.
Yes,
you do agree?
Brother, I am prepared to face that chairman in any court of law with evidence at hand that he has collected money. And the statement that is in the public domain presently was not even written by him. The statement was sent from Accra, and he was given 100 Ghana cedis. And in fact, a tape, a phone recording between him and the spokesperson of the Aflao Youth Association, which...
Can you produce that recording?
I can produce that, but I can give it to you through a Bluetooth. I cannot give it to you through a tape, but we have it on our phone. It has been played over and over here in Aflao today on all the two FM stations. And he has gone into hiding. So it is very clear that he is being used. And the entire membership of the association has disassociated themselves from the action he has taken. Now, coming back to that of the chief, it is so sad that all of a sudden, when the paramount chief of the Aflao Traditional Council is out of town, the Council of Elders met somewhere in Accra.
No, we cannot say so-called, because you know the person who spoke. He's an elder of the place.
Okay.
So let's give the necessary decorum and respect.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Good.
Thank you very much. The Council of Elders in Accra, on their own volition, sat and took that decision. But we believe that if they have done due diligence to consult with the paramount chief, who is the overall head of the Aflao Traditional Council, I'm sure they would have been informed that we have obtained the right permission, written to police, have the assurance, and fulfilled every legal obligation to celebrate June 4th in Aflao. But unfortunately, Togbi Deku, who happens to be the chairman of the Council of Elders, did not do this. So, unfortunately, he has goofed in that regard. Now,
so, are you talking about the fact that all the three elders who have signed on to the statement we have here have goofed? They didn't give any thorough thought. And also talking about the fact that they are pushing the issue, that they don't want the agenda change in relation to the development of Aflao. They are all not knowing precisely what they are doing.
What I'm trying to say is that per the constitution of this of Ghana, they do not even have the locus to issue out of court injunction on anybody celebrating June 4th in Aflao. However, we the people of Volta region have so much respect for traditional authority. And this, in the same vein, we have done due diligence to seek permission and the blessings from the highest authority, that is the traditional council.
Okay, Matthias, just hold on. I'll come back to you quickly. Richard Kwashiga is the propaganda secretary of the NDC. His name has been mentioned in the allegation that you just stated. He's joined us on the line. Richard, you are welcome to Behind the News.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Kingsley, yes. You might have heard the allegation of Matthias Johnson that you were behind, you and some other associates were behind the orchestration of curtailing any celebration of the June 4th in Aflao. What is your view?
I wish Matthias would swear with his life that indeed he knows for sure that the Chikochika is behind that. You see, these latter day things, by default,
the saying is what should be.
For quick money. He betrayed a cause. And subsequently went ahead to form what is referred to as the Volta Youth Network, which goes around, you know, painting the name of the NDC and decided to join FONCA.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Funka, I don't know if he belongs to Funka or he's taking advantage of a certain situation.
But Richard, he mentioned... Yes. Richard, please let me come in. He mentioned you were in a meeting at the White Dove Hotel. Hello, Richard.
I'm very confused.
Yeah.
That this is somebody who probably might have collected money from some people. You
But Richard, let's look specifically at the issues he mentioned.
And
hello, Richard.
You know, mentioning my name.
Hello, Richard. Specifically to that issue about the White Dove Hotel, were you in a meeting there?
In which meeting?
Is that a meeting at White Dove Hotel?
I went to White Dove Hotel on Friday, you know, because that was in connection with the primary that was to be held at Agozuma. The content in which the primary in which people could emerge as winner.
Mm-hmm.
That was not taken to White Dove Hotel last Friday.
So there was no agenda at all to scuttle any celebration of the June 4th celebration?
I mean, apparently I was sitting there alone. Because when I got there, I was expecting to see Kuti. And we spoke on Kuti. He asked me to rather come to them on Friday.
You said
that very heavily, and from that point, I go back to my constituency in Qatar.
He says he's got a tape on the third meeting, and it's been played. We are not in the Volta region, so...
Let him play the tape.
Yeah.
I mean, this young man is getting senile, and I'm very convinced that these are people...
Richard, let's leave the personalities out. Let me quickly ask him.
This is a pure publication by this young man.
Okay.
This is life.
Yeah. Richard, please hold on. Matthias.
I'm involved in anything to do some program that is being organized.
Okay. Matthias, please let me bring you in quickly. Richard, please hold on for me. Matthias, okay. You've heard Richard Kwashiga talk about the fact that it wasn't on the agenda and he wasn't even meeting on any issue. They were just there for primaries. Can you still substantiate?
I'm happy Kwashiga did admit that he was at White Dove Hotel. But I can tell you that it's at the same White Dove Hotel where these decisions are being taken. And I'm telling you on authority that certain elements within the ruling NDC are planning to destroy the celebration of June 4th. And I can give you another instance that the deputy treasurer of the NDC, in the sense of Beta, Amenuvo, have also written to the police to be given permission to organize women to demonstrate against the celebration of the June 4th. And the police swiftly told her she does not have the required number of days to be able to stage such a demonstration, so she was denied.
Okay.
Now, it behoves on the youth part involving Kwashiga, involving Okudia Tua Blackwa in 50 Kwete and his youth groups to go about with this kind of mischief. Of course, he's a propaganda secretary.
Okay, Matthias, I guess the point is very well made. You think the issue is coming directly from the party, some functionaries of the party. I want to thank you very much for your time on Behind the News tonight. That's the president of the Volta Youth Network and head of the local planning committee of the June 4th celebrations. But Richard, coming back to you, it becomes a little murky when the accusations will go, there are counter accusations and all. What is the stance of the party as we speak now on the June 4th celebrations?
You see, the June 4th celebration is part of our calendar. And it's even stated in our constitution. And we are supposed to observe it. But you see, the way we celebrate June 4th, it does not necessarily mean that everybody should be at one big event. I recall that last 2 years especially, I celebrated June 4th at Keta, where I addressed the killers in that constituency, and I was also part of the big pamphlet that was held elsewhere. You are getting the point. So we are observing June 4th. Every member of the NEP will observe June 4th wherever we find ourselves.
Are you joining the celebration, the national celebration?
Hello?
Will you be joining the national celebration where the former president will be?
That is why I'm saying that I may not necessarily be there. It will depend. I may go to my constituency possibly tomorrow or Saturday. But if I'm in my constituency and everybody in that, we have a program to observe you for in Qatar, we will do that. But if the decision at a constituency level or the district level, the municipal level, is to all move to Accra, we will do that.
Yeah, okay.
Why is it that some group of people who are Lassa Daisies, like Matthias, Matthias was waiting for me at a party of quarter.
Yeah. Richard.
Why did he leave?
Richard.
You know, because you are accused of having gone to collect money from...
Richard, I guess we can leave it for now. If you talk about the party stance and you've mentioned it for us. Thank you so much. Richard Kwashiga is the propaganda secretary of the NDC. Behind the News, you are still live on Radio Ghana, 22 Radio, Radio Central, and Unique 95.7. Keda Bote is a member of the June 4 Planning Committee. What is his view of the whole process as it is now? You are welcome, sir.
Good evening, my brother.
If you can please reduce the volume on your set so that we get it much clearer here. Yes, thank you very much. Yes, good evening, sir.
Good evening to you all. Listeners,
what are you going to do in the light of the present developments?
As far as we are concerned, we are celebrating the June 4th uprising, that's the 33rd anniversary, and we have planned our activities to include refueling ceremony as we do normally, which will happen or occur at the Factor of the Regional Square on the 4th June, that is Monday coming.
Mm-hmm.
We've gotten our anniversary activities, including rehearsals in place. We are doing our rehearsals. We'll do our final rehearsals on Saturday. And come June 4, God willing, we will celebrate the occasion.
So it means everything will still come on as planned?
Oh, of course. Everything is coming on as planned.
Will you be going to Aplau?
I'm not part of Aflau program. That Aflau program is being handled by from the office of the former president.
Uh-huh. But you believe that there is still nothing at all wrong going on to celebrate?
I don't see anything wrong at all celebrating the June 4 uprising. This occasion has been celebrated all these years. Even in opposition, we were celebrating it.
Yeah.
Now that we are in government, we will continue to celebrate it. I don't see anything wrong at all.
Yeah. But the concern is that the celebration is being used to scuttle the effort of the present government and, let's say, the president to even get a second term. And that is some concerns coming in. What is your view?
I don't believe in that. Definitely, I can assure you, President Mills is going to have a second term. And we're all put our efforts together to ensure that come 20 December 2012, NDC will win the elections once again. Because the June 4th, the 31st, are the bearers of this revolution and that committee committed into the formation of the NDC. We will continue to celebrate, and I don't think anything will stop anybody from celebrating the June 4 uprising. It will rather create a more awareness to the people of this country.
Well, I want to thank you very much for your time, Kid Aborty.
Thank you, my brother.
A member of the June 4 Planning Committee. You are still live on Behind the News on Radio BR, Sunyai and Garden City Radio, together with Yura Radio. Some test here, June 4th is not relevant in this era. The former First Family should come on board and know that the party is bigger than them. Edward Liubili from Welimbili. Esteemed Nicholas Chinchinku, we thank the Ghana Statistical Service for the census results. Are you cool? And Ibrahim Kopa from Tamale says, what is the correlation between not giving a flower a district and not celebrating June 4th? And Kofi Atahu, the chiefs and elders of Aflao, have no constitutional right to stop the June 4th celebration from that area. The planners of the event should ignore them and treat it with contempt. And Ibrahim Kopa, so from Tamale, under MPP government, the Rawlingses were celebrating June 4th without any problem. But under their own government, they can't celebrate their June 4th. Monica Kons Navrongo, kudos to the chiefs and elders of Aflao for the wise decision. And Atidiga Agbogba, I totally disagree with the chiefs and people of Aflao. Our former president must realize that Prof. Mills has done more in the Volta region than he did. And alas, Zabzugu, please, Mr. Rawlings, reconcile with President Mills for the safety of our great party, NDC. That is alas from Zazugu. Behind the News and your text line is 0266677570. You are live on Obunu 96.5. Where is the Mental Health Act after its passage by Parliament? Has it received presidential assent? These are the questions that Basic Needs, a Ghana mental health advocacy group, is asking. According to the Executive Director of Basic Needs, Badimak Pitayaru, it appears things have stalled with the Act not becoming fully operational. This, the NGO says, does not augur well for mental health. Mr. Pitayaru has joined us on the line as we look at his concerns. Well, thank you so much for your time, sir.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yes.
Good evening.
Since the Act was passed, what do you think have been done since you are directly involved in the area?
Well, the Act was passed, I think, 2nd March, and we were all very, very happy about that. And it was passed on condition of some revisions and additions to it to become fully assented by the president. And that is what we thought would have happened within a short time, mm-hmm. between the corrections and it going to press and receiving the needed assent. But we are in May, going into June, and we have not heard anything yet. And that is what has raised some bit of concern, because the bill is known to be a model one that would bring about the needed reform into the mental health system. But its delay in being passed and accepted has the effect of further allowing the present state of the mental health of Ghana to remain, which is not the best.
Yeah. So as players in the field, what have you been doing so far after the passage?
One of it has been to use one of the very last drafts to give highlights of what the bill seeks to do, improving community care, involving alternative practices, mm-hmm. improving forensic mental health, improving special mental health care services for children and the elderly, improving integration of mental health into general health care, and improving a system where mental health care practices, decision-making involve not just healthcare practitioners, but also local government authorities, traditional leaderships, and all stakeholders that have a role to ensure the health of the population of our country.
Yeah, but don't you think that with the passage, at least there was a lease of life that makes it possible for you to even push on with what you are doing, because it is backed by law, let's say, even if not signed?
Absolutely. And I must say there was quite a lot of euphoria. And that is what is raising our concern, that it's all the excitement with which it was greeted is beginning to wane. And we are also concerned that we are going into these multi-party elections you can follow deliberations of business of parliament, shifts to public accounts and other businesses. And we are a bit worried that when all these go into gear, especially the party campaign, we are likely to lose the steam and excitement that it generated, and it will go to sleep in a slumber that may take another lot of time to wake it up.
Yeah. So how have you been working with the relevant agencies in this area to ensure that that steam is not lost?
Yeah, we continue to maintain contact with the key individuals in Parliament as possible. We continue to maintain contact with the technical committee within the Ghana Health Service, chief psychiatrist and his group of technical men and women, and also giving them signals of what the calls have been from the communities to have this mental health bill in place as soon as possible. It has remained a bill for quite a long time. Yeah, what the signals are from the community with regards to their expectations of the changes and the improvements that the act should bring about that they look forward to. So it's a kind of yearning to see the change that we have been expecting. And is quite high, and we think government should take that on board and ensure that it is implemented without further delays.
Yeah. So, Buddy Mark Peter Yaro, we thank you very much. But earlier, we reached out to the Deputy Minister of Health, Rojo Metununu, and he had something to say in relation to it. You are welcome, sir, to Behind the News.
Thank you.
Yes, there is a concern about the state of affairs of the Mental Health Act. Where is it at the moment?
Well, as you do know, there's been a very strong lobby group of civil society and mental health professionals who worked together for the bill to be prepared. And indeed, beyond Parliament approving the bill, the bill is currently under consideration by his executive, the President of the Republic of Ghana, and it will soon be passed into law. I believe, I do not have the exact situation now, but I believe that it should be shortly gazetted. But beyond gazetting, are challenges of the legislative instrument that will define how the mental health law will be implemented. Because one of the fundamental changes in mental health care is that we are moving away from inpatient care in a health facility to a community-based care program. This will require that various public and private facilities will have to start retraining various health professionals to be minded on how to screen, how to identify, how to associate, how to relate to not just the patient, but the family, the community, and the society at large. And they should be able to reintegrate that person back into society. In the past, people would abandon their relatives and patients that they sent to hospital. And if those people have lost their memory, they simply do not even know how to get back home to their communities. The thinking now is that, yes, there's a new Mental Health Act, but people must be integrated, must be part of the society. Families must support people to heal and to recover, and that stress management, chronic psycho problems should be part of the challenges of all the society, not just health professionals.
Good. So for the advocates, how are you working with them to see that the process is still on and has not been left in limbo?
No, we've been working with the advocates. They are part of the process of working on the legislative instrument.
But for now, you cannot say exactly when you finish with them, looking at the challenges you mentioned.
No, mental health has started. They advocated for care. The bill has been moved beyond the bill of parliament. It's going to become law. But if people want to show compassion, then they must show compassion on an ongoing basis. So we must now work out the legislative instruments, the operational plan, and how to roll out mental care in Ghana. That's where we're at.
Okay.
You don't need the bill or the act anymore. We must operationalize it. Civil society, district assemblies, Ghana Health Service, private health sector, and even people who supply medication must be minded by the need to make sure that at different levels of mental care, we are able to respond appropriately to mental challenges in Ghana.
Has it been popularized enough for them to know what it says and how they can make it work?
No, you know, the actual process of creating public awareness, I think, has not started. We should be in a position to work on that very soon.
Well, sir,
we have to relaunch it because there are other competing concerns. There's HIV, there's tuberculosis, there's maternal child health. There are other things like upper respiratory diseases.
Mm-hmm.
There's cancer in children, adults, and so on. There's prostate cancer. There's stroke. There's diabetes. I mean, there are so many competing challenges.
Mm-hmm. We are trying to do a balancing act presently.
Yes, because we must integrate mental health into the general mental health delivery system.
Okay, good. So just before we let you go, the problem with the junior doctors and security, we understand you are meeting on it. What exactly are you doing to make it possible for them to return to work very soon?
You know, Kolebu is a township. Kolebu is not some small institution. And if you're talking of security in Kolebu, it's like you're talking about Kolebu, you're talking about security in Accra, Newtown.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're talking of security in Nima, or you're talking of security in Ashaman. It's very complex. Whatever people see as Kolebu is not just the health institution. It is the residential facilities on the land that Kolebu has authority over. You have the medical school there, you have the school of hygiene, you have the public health nurses training and all that. And so to organize security there, when people in the Ghana Health Service also have accommodation there, when you also have people who are in the Ministry of Health there, when you have medical staff of the Ghana Health Service there and so on, it's a complete community.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever happens in Kolebu in terms of security must be a comprehensive program. It is not a one-off simple solution. And I believe we are working on it.
Yeah. So you are meeting them. What exactly will be your main message?
Well, it's not about the message. There was an unfortunate incident. I believe the police are investigating. I believe that we should not be prejudging the outcome of the police investigation. I also believe very strongly that regardless of whatever happened, this is a wake-up call for us to pay a little more attention to the actual challenges in the Kolebu area. So, as far as I'm concerned, it's the point of engagement of house officers. The other people who live in Kolebu who are not house officers.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Well, we'll leave it here for now and we'll be looking at the outcome later. But I want to thank you very much for squeezing time.
We need a very comprehensive approach to all of this. You understand?
Yes.
Yeah, we should not be just looking at one situation. Because even to run a hospital, it's not just doctors. You need the doctors, the nurses, the biomedical engineers, the laborers, and everybody. So whatever we try to do for the doctors, for now, we should be looking at the much bigger picture of security generally for the whole Kolebu Teaching Hospital.
Okay. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Radio Metal Nunu is the Deputy Minister of Health. But getting back to the other issue we're considering before we brought in the Kolebu One, mental health. We still have Badima Peter Yaro quickly to make a comment before we let him go. Yes, you have something to say still.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think I would like to thank the minister. He has been one key person who has pushed the act up to this point. But of course, we need to understand that not all the sectors are the same. Others are quite disadvantaged and need a better push than the rest. And we think that mental health is in that situation where it needs a much more concerted attention to. If not, it will lose out, as he said, to the other more competing, more powerful sectors. And that has been the bane of mental health all this while. So we hope they will give or they will accord the Mental Health Act the needed attention and support than all the others. I'm not saying the others that have been mentioned are not important, but they need to be brought to a certain level that they can compete well. I think that is the point, but we thank him for that.
Thank you very much. That's Executive Director of Basic Needs, Badimak, Peter Yaro. You are still live on Behind the News, and if you are getting us at Adjiso and somewhere around Colin Kwanta, you are on Sunrise FM. For some, it was a wait that lasted almost forever, but finally, the final results of the 2010 population and housing census was released by the Ghana Statistical Service today. Ghana's population now stands at over 24.6 million, with females constituting more than 51% of the population. The total figure represents a 30.4% increase of the 2000 population and housing census. The population stood at 18.9 million then. But what has accounted for the long delay in releasing the results, and what had attracted the speculations with some politicians giving it that political twist? What were the challenges that the Ghana Statistical Service faced in coming out with the final results? David Combat is the publicity officer of the Statistical Service and has joined us on the line as we look at the issue. Well, welcome, sir.
Thank you, Kingsley.
Yes, you had another hitch this morning when you had to reschedule. What accounted for that one?
Kingsley, thank you very much. As we were about to move, we just realized that one of the components had had to be relooked at. And so since we have, this was final, we needed to have to go back and to check it before we release the final result.
Good.
And that is why we had to postpone it to the afternoon.
There's been so much expectations as to what the final results will hold. For you, has it really satisfied all the concerns being raised prior to this day?
Kingsley, when you say concerns, yes, the concern is for people to get data to plan.
Mm-hmm.
And so that need has been met today. We have come out with the final figures, including the district level data. You know, planning is done now at the district level mostly. And once they have this data, they can now do good planning.
Yeah. Does that end it? That is talking about the work of a census after releasing the final results.
That does not end it. You know, the census was done in 2010, and we are in 2012. And so we would have to work to get estimates that how the population is going to look like based on the recorded growth rate, and then people can then make use of it.
So even as we speak, we can have many more people than has been given per the 2010 census.
Certainly, since with 2 years down the line.
Good.
The current estimates, you're likely to have a higher figure than that.
Yes. Can you take us through the process? Because for some, it's just a matter of counting people, and after counting, you should be able to immediately put out the figure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is it appreciating the issue very well?
Yeah, thank you, Kingsley. Now, the census process is such a complex process that it has to be appreciated by all. We are talking about 5 million households. And when I talk about households, I'm talking about group, you know, what we usually refer to as family, you know, man, wife, children, and other dependents. Now, the census had to engage, the secretary had to engage about 50,000 field workers. And then they had to take the information from all these households and individuals. And so when the information got to the head of it, we had to scan it. And you have scanned so many forms from people's different handwritings and so on. And with the scanners and the new technologies and the problem that it comes with, you don't expect with enumerating some localities because they felt that the enumerators were coming from districts other than the district they claim they belong. And so we had to report the matter to the Minister for Local Government. A committee was set, and so we had to also wait for the committee's report and then their recommendation so we can transfer the figures to the appropriate district. This has also been part of the what caused the delay, Kingsley.
So, why did you not come out to let people know that these are some of the challenges you were facing when they kept calling on you? Because, you know, even before the biometric registration, people said, how do you do an effective registration without even knowing the constituents of the population?
Thank you very much. I think we, those radio stations that called us, we tried to explain, and any opportunity we had, we tried to explain why we were still not coming out and the challenges that we're facing. And so we have been explaining to people.
Yeah. So from what we have, as per the results now, which region is leading?
Ashanti region is leading.
Followed by?
Greater Accra.
And which is the least?
The least is Upper West region.
Is it just because the population is not increasing in the least region, or it's because of migration? Did you manage to do any extrapolation to look at the figures there?
Yeah, I think this will call for further studies, but you and I would know that the north is more of an out-migration area. People move down to the south more than they move to the north. And so they keep losing people from those regions, especially Upper East and Upper West. Because the share of Upper West in 2000 census was 3%. Now it's 2.8%. And so there's a drop.
Well, sometimes they talk about population density. And for some, what does it really mean?
Population density has to do with the number of people per 1 square kilometer.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see in Accra, you know, the traffic we are facing and all that. It means the density in such areas are high. To look at the density, Accra has the highest density. It means there are more people in Accra than in other places. And for example, if it's in the farming areas, you need more land and so on. And if you know, you have very small land with so many people, you know the consequences.
Mr. Combat, please hold on. We'll go quickly to the other line. Joining us is Professor NN Nsuanyama, a former government statistician. You are welcome, sir, to Behind the News.
Thank you.
We have the final results now, and I was asking Mr. Combat, does it mean the end of the process? He says no. From your experience, what are the other things that we need to get from this census?
Okay, thank you very much. What has come out now are just the figures, tables. Yeah, let me say the raw data, which have been generated into tables. What is coming is the final stage of the census. That is writing reports and publishing the report, so writing the publication of the report. So it is not that the Statistical Service, together with other stakeholders, would write a report, descriptive reports on all the data set for the administrative level. So it's like that is the next stage. So from now on, they have to complete the generation of all tables and then start writing the report. Then when they finish, they will publish the report. That is when it will become easily accessible to the general public.
Yes. Professor Nsuanyama, you move out of this country and you get to other developed areas. By the time you get to the outskirts, they have a billboard there telling you the exact population. It may not be exact because maybe somebody will be born, but at least you have an idea as to how many people are living in that area. Do you think we should be getting there now?
Well, that one can be done.
Mm-hmm.
That one is just application of statistical tools to project the population, and it can be done at any point in time. Of course, when you go to places like Netherlands, some of the Scandinavian countries and so forth, they have the continuous registration of the people. So once you enter the community, there is a way of taking care of your existence in the community. So that one is done, but it is not very common. But getting the tickets at any point in time can be done through statistical methodology.
Yeah. So what do you see of those who even now complain that they were not counted, so the results may not be accurate?
Oh, the population census, it's not everybody that will be counted. There are two issues here. When they say they have not been counted, sometimes they've been counted but they are unaware. Because sometimes some of them think that they should be physically present so that now I'm counting you with your age and so forth before they know they are counted. But sometimes information can be given by somebody in the household. So you might not have been there physically, but you might have been counted unknowingly. That is one aspect of it. The second aspect is that even if some have not been counted, there is nowhere that census everybody is counted. I mean, there are always some people who might not have been counted, but that is why we have what we call the post-enumeration survey. The post-enumeration survey will take care of the route and not the percentage of under coverage. That is, how many, what percentage of the people might not have been captured. That is done through the post-enumeration survey. And I think the Scar Service has done that. I understand the results are not in yet, but there they will know the percentage has not been counted.
In terms of the ages, did you observe a particular trend?
In terms of ages, yes, it's funny, but I think it also follows the same trend. First, the first one, which is normal, is the fact that sex, the proportion of male to female in general, I mean, and it is every census, almost every census in Ghana and almost every census in the world, and the proportion of females to males is always higher.
Uh-huh.
And we saw the same trend in these census too. But what was surprising, and also it also happens in almost every country, is the fact that at the age between 0 and 14, the proportion of male to female was higher.
Uh-huh.
In other words, there were more males than females. But when it gets to 15 onwards, to the last age, then the proportion changes. Then we have more males and females than males, meaning that males die earlier
than the females.
Younger age. So the proportion changes.
Yeah.
That's what federal research has to go into to find out why such thing happens.
Good. Prof, we'll be picking bits and pieces of the results as we have it with subsequent programs, and we'll certainly be calling on you as we look at them. We want to thank you very much for your time tonight.
You're welcome.
Professor N.N. Nsuanyama is a former government statistician on the line. Mr. Combat, you've heard Professor Nyama, so you cannot have it completely accurate as
yes.
we are being told. What steps do you have in place to look at some of the challenges you experienced and what you can do to improve as you do other service?
I think one important thing that has to be done is public education on this issue of enumeration. As Prof. Nyama said, some people think that they will have to be physically present to be enumerated. But as you indicate, you don't have to be physically present. When we visit your household and you are not available, and we have any responsible adult member of the household who can respond on behalf of other household members, we would go ahead. We have trained enumerators, or usually train our enumerators to go ahead to interview. But people usually expect that they should be physically present to get themselves enumerated. I think that's an area that we have to educate people on.
Well, as I mentioned to Professor Nyama, we cannot finish discussing the whole census tonight. We have to get into the housing issues too at a later time. Thank you so much, Mr. David Combat.
Thank you.
It's a publicity officer of the Census Secretariat joining us there. But how do we use the figures to help in our development and policy formulation? We have Dr. Ahaji on the line. Dr. Ahaji, you are welcome.
Thank you.
Yes, we now have the final figures, and you have been working with policy for some time, apart from just heading the National Identification Authority. What do you think should be done now that we know the figures and the districts?
Yes, I think basically, let me start with my own institution first, then I can do the national. We do registration based on zoning of the different parts of the region, and so we need to get the accurate data on the registrable population in the various districts and the zones that we work in. So far, we've been working with population data from the 2000 census. Mm-hmm. And the fact that there's a change in population, there's an increase in the population, means that we still have a large number of people we have to go back to, because obviously there's been an increase in the numbers in the various areas that we've got done the registration. So for us, as an institution, we would definitely need to use, we are users of statistics, and we are quite glad that the figures are finally out. But on the broader national scale, a population census allows for targeting of development resources. If you recall, they're indicating that the dependency ratio has changed, which means that this is a bigger number of people who are below the working age, and those who are after, who are above 65, they have to depend on those of us who are still working. Uh-huh. Once you have a ratio like that growing, it means that there's a need for policies that will allow you to look after those who cannot work and who will not be able to work, or those who are going on pension. They have implications for resource allocation. There are implications for targeting services, pension schemes, children's welfare issues, and all of that. So, yes, it's good to know that. But I think we should also be introducing measures that would limit the growth of population. Typically, the doubling time for population should be about 50 years, but ours is shorter than that, which means that our population, even though the growth rate is 2.5, we need to be bringing it down a little so that we are not overwhelmed by, a bigger population growth rate.
Good. You are talking about the increase in population at a time that we are still being told that we have a reduction in the fertility rate. Does that mean that the effort has not really met with expectations?
No, definitely. Declining fertility rate is useful, but it doesn't mean that once it's declining, the growth rate would also automatically decline at the same ratio. They both could be declining, but the one will be declining much, much faster. And what you want to see is that the growth rate should be declining even much, much faster. What we mean by the declining fertility rate could mean that the number of children per couple is coming down. But then it could well also mean that there are, others who are more interested in having a lot more children, which could change the growth rate of the population. But that's a little technical. What it means for the ordinary person is that we should introduce policies that will reduce the number of children a family can have, that then would have some effect on the general growth of the population, and that will allow for a better distribution of resources. If the population is growing faster than your economy is able to generate resources. In other words, if the growth rate of the population is much faster than the GDP, you're running into some trouble.
Have we adequately consulted statisticians in our planning efforts?
Indeed, once the data are released, we work with them in our development planning processes. So that's why there's a lot of anxiety when the data are not out from the statistical survey. But now that it is out, the development planners and policymakers are just going to begin to use that as the basis for developing programs and targeting those who need certain types of services.
Dr. William Ahaji, this is the first part of a mini-series. I want to thank you very much for sharing your thoughts with us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much for inviting me.
Dr. Haji is the Executive Director of the National Identification Authority and a policy analyst. Behind the news, time to go, but some test here. Jane Krumah Amos from Sashiri also is saying the celebration of the June 4th has lost its relevance in our lives today. It only awakens our sad past memories. It should be abolished. And Gabriel Ni Obodai Togba Sean GIJ says, I was happy with the passage of the mental health bill, but unfortunately, the law seemed to be joining others on the shelf. And Kwame Nkoko, it is good to stop this June 4th thing. It is going to be a platform to malign people. That is what he thinks. And Akoto Razak Tamale, the Volta Chiefs should allow Mr. Rawlings to celebrate June 4th. There is no cause for alarm. Napoleon Tumu, the junior doctors should be protected as they also take care of sick people in our hospitals. Sakun Joseph, Garrett Timpani, June 4th must be celebrated. Their flower youth and chiefs can't stop it. And Fuseni Montari Alam Yindi, whether those administration like the celebration of June 4 or not, it will be celebrated. And Osman from Navrongo says, if Aslao is not captured in the 46 newly created districts, the decision by the Volta chiefs cannot bring them a municipality. And that is where we wrap it all up for today. On behalf of Isaac Yawe, do sat at the controls for us in Bembochi, and together with production team of Christopher Steele, Edmund Tete, Felix Kofi, Agatha Samuel, John Pubian, Sumeriza, Ibrahim Kwatin, my name is Kingsley Obinchere.